It's all about your health, your wellness. Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Get healthier, get fit, eat better, have a richer quality of life. Health on the go. Staying well with Melanie Cole, MS.
We are certainly a society obsessed with image and staying thin, but there are times maybe when diet and exercise don't seem to be working, and many people might want to turn to plastic surgery for a helping hand to obtain their goals and needs. Is liposuction something you've heard about, you've considered, you're not quite sure really what's involved? Well, that's what we're talking about today. My guest is Dr. Peter Geldner. He's one of Chicago's premier plastic surgeons and the founder of the Geldner Center in Chicago. Welcome to the show, Dr. Geldner. Let's talk about liposuction. People have heard about it for years. First, give a little working description of what it is and how it's changed over the years.
Hey, Melanie, thank you so much. I really enjoy talking about the subject. Liposuction has changed so much over the past few decades. It is not even closely what it was 20 years ago. The principle with liposuction is that you go in and dramatically remove fat cells, which results in contour changes of the skin, so that the body will change based on that area that you remove. What's really changed things are several different areas, techniques, thought processes, and the expectations of the patients. What used to simply be getting rid of fat, for the sake of getting rid of fat, has now changed to something where we can actually do sculptural liposuction, and we can create a more high-definition type of a look. I should be very careful because that's a proprietary term. The whole goal is to try and sculpt that person into that image that they wish, not just into something smaller. Because it's really not what you take out, it's what you leave behind.
Okay, so what you leave behind. There's been that old sort of myth, whether it's an urban myth or whether it's the truth, that once you've had liposuction, then the fat either redeposits in clumps, if the fat is going to go back to that area. People are always kind of concerned about the after effects. Does the fat redeposit? Does it clump up where it's still left? Or is it a smooth contour?
Melanie, I wish I could give you a simple answer, but the whole issue is that the body is very complex. There are a lot of things going on simultaneously. I can tell you reliably that if an individual is basically at a comfortable weight for themselves, with a decent amount of exercise, a decent amount of activity, burning those calories on a fairly routine basis, and consuming calories on a fairly routine basis, the changes we create with liposuction are permanent. But if somebody takes this as an excuse to eat bonbons and kind of visit McDonald's more than they ought to, then all bets are off. And you can get areas that are changing. The other thing which I think is important is that you have to take a look at the hormonal milieu within that individual. And the area where I'm most concerned, and I take great pains to make sure that I do the right things, are in women that are in that postmenopausal period. It's a time when the thermostat breaks. And so that their ability to consume all these calories and to really metabolize things has altered. So in those situations, if they're on a bad streak, their thyroid hormones are not right, their estrogen levels are changing, their testosterone levels are changing, then you have to be particularly careful that you're not creating a situation where they can deposit fat in different other areas. But with that exception, by and large, liposuction is a permanent change of the physical shape of the patient.
Are there certain areas that you tell people it works better than others, in the belly, in the thighs, in the sort of saddlebags that we hear about? Because as an exercise physiologist, Dr. Geldner, I have worked with people over the years who have fat in certain places that no matter how hard I work them out and no matter what exercises we do, certainly that saddlebag area, sure, Nothing changes that.
Well, you're absolutely right. People come in with diet-resistant areas of fat. For women, it's typically the saddlebag area, the inner thighs. For men, it's very often the love handles, the flanks and the abdomen. Men carry their weight in different places than women. Liposuction is absolutely an effective tool for sculpting out these areas. But I use the term sculpt. If you take somebody who is overtly obese, they are not going to get a wonderful result.
Well, it's not a diet. I mean, it's not in, it does not replace, just like bariatric surgery is a tool to help lose weight. This is a tool to sculpt your areas. It's not a diet, and it's not a weight loss tool.
Cold hard reality is that there's no such thing as a spot diet. There is no diet that gets rid of saddlebags or inner thighs or flanks. Yet that is something that, you know, the overall environment of the patient is that thing which is going to change their body fat composition. What we do is that we sculpt those areas so that the diet-resistant fat can be removed or reshaped.
Okay, so is this a very expensive procedure? I mean, I assume that it's probably less expensive than it used to be.
Well, that again, is a little bit difficult to talk about because different people do different things. Liposuction is not liposuction is not liposuction. If you go to somebody who simply sucks a little bit of fat out, then that's going to be one thing, and you're going to pay an appropriate price for that. If you go to somebody who believes that they need to sculpt you into a particular shape, they're trying to define the musculature, they're trying to define the overall shape, kind of make you look like you have a sculpted body, that's going to be much more expensive, and that price has not gone down. In fact, it's gone up.
Now, just give us a ballpark, anything you can give us price-wise for people considering this.
Well, I think that a reasonable place to start is somewhere in the area of about $2,500 to $3,000 for a given area, whether we're talking about saddlebags, inner thighs, abdomen, or something or some such. When we start talking about combining different areas together, then the amount of time involved in creating this increases a lot. The expense of anesthesia increases a lot. And the amount of expertise that you're paying for increases a lot, too. So liposuction can be as inexpensive as $1,000, or it can be as expensive as $12,000 or $13,000 or $15,000.
Now, you know, we don't have a lot of time, Dr. Geldner, but, you know, people used to see the pictures of you doctors going in and out of the fat with something looking very sharp and quite, you know, graphic with the fat going through the tubes and all that, and then the pain that they heard about and the bruising afterwards. Is it different now? What are some of the latest technologies that might have changed that vision that some of us have?
I think that what's changed over the last few decades where we've seen liposuction are changes in our understanding of anatomy, physiology, and also changes in the technology. Yes, we are using tubes. Yes, it's going back and forth, but the tubes are blunt. We're not ripping things apart. We're not cutting things. But what we're doing is we're gently removing fat from given areas to create that kind of a contour change. So I think that the assumption that we're beating people up from the inside is a little misplaced. Do you get bruising? Yeah, you can. So you have to make sure that you avoid anything that can lead to easy bruising, medications, herbal things, a supplement, that type of thing. The bruising, by and large, is gone after about 3 weeks. And for the most part, so is the soreness. Most of my patients don't require narcotic pain medication after about the first 24 to 48 hours. So I think that the assumption that this is naturally something terribly painful and something awfully violent is a little bit misplaced.
And I'm sure it is. And it's been around for years that way. And just in the last minute or so, besides wrapping it up for us, is there an age that you would say not a good idea, young and or too old for it?
I think that you have to strip away the age from the question. I think that the question is more appropriate in to ask what are the areas that we're concerned about. I think that as long as the individual is of good health, that they can tolerate an operation, that they have a realistic expectation of what they're going to get, and they have something that we can physically change and really make it look better, then they're appropriate candidates. Does that mean that I would do a surgery on a 12-year-old? No, not unless we've got extenuating circumstances. Same thing goes with 90-year-olds. But I think that the point is that simply giving an artificial age is a little bit inappropriate. By and large, the younger you do it, the stronger your results because of skin elasticity. But with that caveat, generally speaking, it's open for most ages.
Wow, and that is such great information on liposuction. How, you know, general ballparks of the cost, how safe, that it may not be for you, but it just might. Something to look into when you're listening to Radio MD. The show is Staying Well. I'm Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening, and go ahead and stay well.